ESPN's Turon Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. Time to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Turon Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, to the program. TD, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. What's going on, fellas?
Not a lot, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. TD, a very interesting matchup coming up on Sunday for the Titans against the Jets, two teams that are 0-1 to start the season. So let's start on the Levis front. Obviously, boneheaded play last week. Interested to see how he responds to it. Just, we were talking about this earlier. He's obviously somebody that wants to succeed so much and wants to do well. Do you think sometimes maybe he wants it a little too much, and that becomes a fault for him on the field on game day? Like, how do you overcome maybe being a little bit too high strung? Do you think that's something that can be coached out of him? Is that just the way he is, and you got to live with it if you're the Titans? How do you view that kind of that part of it with Will Levis?
Yeah, it's something where he has to stop pressing, and they have to get him to somehow weigh the pros and cons of a play before he tries to make it. And you saw that, right? You look at the interceptions. Okay, let's say you complete the pass. Just like Bill Belichick said, right? You complete the pass. Okay, you get 2 yards. Guess what you still got to do? Punt.
Yep.
Right? Worst case scenario, look what happens. You lose the game. So, you know, those are things that he has to be able to do and do it quickly, you know, because these decisions have to be made almost instantly. So that's really the main thing. And my take on it is this, right? Over time, right, even going back to Kentucky, he has this habit, right, of playing hero football, feeling like he has to do everything, right? And when you're in adverse situations, what happens? You resort back to your habits. And what happens with the habit is something that you develop over time, okay? And so now, and this is my thing to people who say automatically, hey, get rid of him, he can't be the guy. Well, you got to understand these habits that have developed over time are going to take time to be deprogrammed, and now you got to program new habits. So it's going to be a process.
Yeah, I mean, even in that play, like even if it's like even if you throw it away or whatever, so – okay, so you, like, saved, whatever, 6-7 yards on a sack. Also, like, you stop the clock instead of keeping it running, right? Like, if you take a sack, the clock runs. Like, yeah, it's like – it's a question of, like, but can you make process that stuff in the moment and not do the hero ball? So, Teeny, what is the – we've all talked about forever, right? I mean, all offseason. This season is the Will Levis season. What do you think is, and I know it's different for different people and it's different situations, but what's the general, in your mind, time period to when you should know about a quarterback, if there's a game number or whatever it is?
I would say 18 to 20 games. That's usually, to me, when you should know. But like you said, it does change from person to person. I think the main thing is seeing flashes, seeing consistency, and not seeing the same mistake being made over and over again. And that is a little bit alarming about this failure to be able to slide. But you know what? A lot of young quarterbacks have had that.
TD, on the Skoronski front, obviously not a very good game from him from a pass blocking standpoint. What's your concern level with him? I know it's week one, but just based on everything we've seen from Skoronski to this point in his career, your concern level on him after 1 week?
Yeah, there should definitely be a level of concern, and it's not just, you know, physically. There's mental things going on. Like, he's not – his eyes, you know, he's not seeing things. And then the feet, you know, and I think what ends up happening a lot of times to athletes is they struggle like this, and then it becomes mental, you know. So Bill Callahan, he has to find that balance. You know, he coaches hard, so he has to find that balance of being able to ride him a bit, but also at the same time, boost him up and make sure that his confidence is there. And I tell you what, fellas, Quinnen Williams is coming to town, and you know it doesn't get any easier, and that's how this league is, you know, because next week you got Kenny Clark and the Packers, so it just continues to get harder and harder.
Yeah, no doubt. So with, like you said, I think that's a great point. Like, with any of these guys, I mean, like it's hard for it not to become mental. It's hard to totally avoid the discussion And if you're a high pick especially, then the discussion is higher volume and it comes faster. When you look at his struggles last week, TD, do you feel it's more maybe there are some physical limitations with him that weren't, you know, seen as much when he came out, or is it a technique failure thing where he's losing his head and reverting to bad habits that can actually be corrected?
Yeah, I think it's technique. It's mainly the slow feet, right? Like, he has to be able to speed that up. That's the main thing to me. But, I mean, you know, it's something that is going to come also with time because – and this isn't an excuse, okay? It's not an excuse. He has to play better, without a doubt. But you got to remember, like, he's dropped in between two guys he hasn't played with consistently also. So that's going to come as well. So it's just going to take some time for that to develop fully. But, again, he has to play better.
TD, I was saying this earlier this week on the defensive side of things, like Sweat is a guy that I already look at and say, man, I'm glad the Titans have him on their team because, man, he's a monster in week one. Yeah. That combination of Sweat and Simmons, after seeing it in action together for the first time in a game setting, what's your thought on just how dynamic those two can be together this year?
Yeah, man. Good old Meatloaf, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, we cracked up when he said that's what he wanted. He answers to. But, yeah, you know the thing that excites me is, I love bigger D-tackles with footwork, you know. And he's a former hooper, right? And he's a guy that not only wins with that bull rush, you know, you saw that quick arm over move, and you see how he gets into the backfield. And I love what Amani Hooker said. He was like, man, a guy like that, that gets in the backfield and makes the running back have to go laterally and redirect, it makes my job easier. And he's right, because you look, the tackle for a loss that Roger McCreary had, all you had to do was be there and take out the trash, right? Because Sweat already placed the table for him, and Swift was easy picking because he had to, you know, redirect. So I think when you have something like that, a guy that could not only win with his brute strength, but also his footwork and his technique, it's a dangerous situation, you know. And I told him in the locker room, the same day I text you, Rex Rowe, I told him, I said, you remind me of Haloti Ngata. He said he hasn't seen him yet, but hopefully he does watch him because they're very similar players.
Yeah, no, that's a great comparison. So so this defense goes from, you know, overall, that's a winning performance plus in week one. Obviously, gave all kinds of trouble to an extremely talented rookie in his debut. And now you go to Aaron Rodgers. How different is, like, the defensive mindset and game plan when you now are looking at a guy who's seen everything, but also doesn't, and it's one game, but didn't look to me, TD, like he was the same Aaron Rodgers, really good at climbing the pocket, escaping, extending plays. What's the difference in plan and mindset there for the Titans?
Yeah, I think with this game, you still want to, you know, show them one pitcher and switch the pitcher up and things like that. But I think it's really the focus has to be on, like, the defense down the middle. You know, we just talked about Sweat, Jeffrey Simmons. These guys got to get that interior pressure. That's the worst thing for Aaron Rodgers. He hates to have to, you know, have the pocket push back into his face. So you got to do that. And if you're not getting home, you know, just like Denard Wilson said yesterday, right, if you're not going to get to the quarterback, get your hands up and become a pass defender. And that's a way to kind of develop some of these turnovers that they're thirsty to get, and with that quick passing game. So I think that's really the key. It is different in that, you know, you don't have to have the same type of coordinated rush against Rodgers, you know what I mean, as you do against Caleb Wilson, Williams, because, you know, you look at just, he's not the same guy. I think that's the easiest way to put it. Like, he doesn't make that, you know, baseball turn out of the pocket and throw the ball 40 yards downfield on the money like he used to. It's not happening now.
TD, if Hopkins is full go on Sunday, what sort of a difference does that make in this offense, do you think, with Hopkins, Boyd, and Ridley together on the field, really for the first time in a game setting?
Yeah, I think it makes a big difference. I think he's going to be full go, too. Like, he hasn't showed up on the injury report. His knees are naked out there, right? No brace, no sleeve, nothing on there. So that's a good thing. And it's really good for Will Levis because we know that that's his guy, right? That's who he goes to. And it is also something to that calming presence that Hopkins has. It seems like that helps Levis also. Now, this is just outside of the huddle looking in, but it just seems like that does help Levis. So, yeah, overall, I think, you know, having him back and having those guys together, you know, is definitely going to be good, especially, you know, DJ Reed, Sauce Gardner. These are some good corners, right? So you need as much as you can to go against them.
What should the concern level be, TD?
Go ahead, Joe.
No, sorry. What should the concern level be with the kicking game right now?
As far as like punt blocks or which?
Just everything. Yeah, special teams. Yeah, special teams, the whole thing. Okay, I mean, because I thought it was just a bad day. Obviously, the punt blocks.
Yeah. Yeah, the cover unit, too. You had the 66-yard kick return. You know, you can't have these types of things. So I think there definitely should be a high level of concern. I know Colt Anderson said that it was, you know, a team thing on the block. But, you know, that was on Jack Gibbons. Like, Jack Gibbons took responsibility for it. Yeah, it's bad, man. It's bad. And you wonder about speeding up Stonehouse's punting, delivery. I don't know if that's a big thing that they have to do. But, yeah, they have to go back to the drawing board and figure some things out.
TD, could you imagine trying to guard Devondre Sweat on the basketball court? You talk about being a hooper. Good gracious.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. You know what I would try to do? Slip the chair out from under him. Like, let him lean on me a little bit. And then just turn. But just make sure you're not there when he falls. You don't want to be underneath all that.
That just sounds like a disaster waiting to happen, trying to guard that guy. TD, great stuff as always. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this week. And enjoy the game Sunday. We'll talk to you next week.
For sure. Appreciate you guys. Take care.
Teron Davenport, our guest on Robbie and Rextro, joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll continue to look ahead to the Titans and the Jets coming up next. We got Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 8:30 as well. All that ahead. Robbie and Rextro, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Check out Nashville's best deal this week. It's 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Check them out at 371 Monroe Street in Germantown or order takeout online at 312pizzaco.com. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get half off a $30 gift card to 312 Pizza Company while supplies last. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Got some tickets to give away to see Legends of Old School featuring Dougie Fresh, Slick Rick, Big Daddy Kane, and a whole lot more. Ascend Amphitheater coming up on Friday, October the 4th. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a pair of tickets to Legends of Old School. Appreciate TD for being with us in the last segment. Joe, we've spent so much time this week talking about the offense and the quarterback, and obviously that's the number one storyline for the Titans heading into the game. I will say, like, I'm very interested Sunday to see how does the Titans defense perform against Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall and that offense. It was a dominant performance for the defense in week one. Can they replicate that in week two? Now, I don't know that it's fair to expect them to hold the Jets to fewer than 150 yards like they did against Chicago last week. But if they come out and have another really good showing on the defensive side of the ball, I think you start to raise your eyebrows a little bit, Joe, and say, all right, this Titans defense looks like it could be for real, and how much of a help could that be to your young quarterback as the offense is trying to get things figured out as the season goes on here for this defense to be a plus for this team and to be a major plus very quickly into the season?
Yeah, the offensive line didn't help the young quarterback, but defenses also help young quarterbacks. So it's a big – Titans want complete opposite of one side of the ball, and they want to replicate on the other side of the ball. Remember, though, that Caleb Williams, I think, missed a couple deep shots, and there was a drop TD pass.
Yep.
And so if the Titans' aggression leaves them exposed, as it apparently did a couple times last week, Aaron Rodgers is more likely, I would say, to make them pay for it. To me, it's you got to get home. You know, with like TD said, like, you have to be so careful when you're rushing a player like Caleb Williams, and that rush lane integrity and everything. And it's not the same thing with an Aaron Rodgers. You know, I think you can, again, maybe this is an overreaction to one game of him playing his first football in a year, but it does look like, and it kind of matches up with his age, that he's a little bit more of a sitting duck now. So you need to get home and you need to stop the run. Breece Hall is a very good player. And so can the Titans, are the Titans going to be a consistent run stopping team? That absolutely matters. Are they facing third and, you know, are they putting the Jets in third and six and seven, or is it third and three and four on Sunday? I mean, it doesn't sound like a huge difference, but it is. Then you're in a lot more conflict and you're looking at third and three.
Right. And, you know, we talked yesterday about the importance of stopping the run. You know, Garrett Wilson obviously is a huge problem that you've got to deal with if you're the Titans defense. I'm interested to see like what the approach is in terms of defending him. Do they do it basically the way they did it last week, where it's Snead's got one side, you've got Awuzie on the other side, and you just kind of go from there? What does that look like? Does Snead at all travel with Garrett Wilson in this game? That to me is still fascinating looking at it. And again, you did bring up an important point. I mean, it is Rodgers' first time in over a year of playing football. So how much better does he look in week two? How much different is it in week two? And how much better is this offense? Like, we would all agree that the Jets' offense is in much better shape right now with Aaron Rodgers, even at age 40, than it was with Zach Wilson at any point last year leading this group. So does that start to show itself? And I'm still, you know, I'm a big believer in this too. The Jets have been, I mean, the definition of dysfunction in the NFL over the last 15 years. It's what they've been. They're dysfunctional every year. I don't know that I believe that that's just changed all of a sudden with Aaron Rodgers being their quarterback. There's a lot of pressure on them heading into this game. Like, if the Jets fall to 0-2, the sky is going to be falling in New York. So there's a lot of pressure on them to win. And look, they've got a lot of veteran guys. They should be able to handle that. But you never know. Like, teams respond to that really differently. And I'm interested to see what that looks like, particularly on the offensive side of the ball for the Jets this week.
Aaron Rodgers is a great player, all-time great quarterback. He's not the guy to solve dysfunction within an organization, I don't think. I don't think he's quite the agent of function when an organization has dysfunction.
What are you talking about? So, he said last year you got to get the stuff that has nothing to do with football out of there.
That's right. That's right. We need these distractions out of here. We're all looking for who did this. We're all looking for who did this. Yeah. No, it's look, you're right. Like, NFL, the NFL media – If the Jets lose this game, it is just, I mean,
they're gonna get crushed.
The Mad Dog Russo rants next week, yep, about that. Like, this is supposed to be a given for them. Like, of course you go to Nashville and you right the ship and you thump that team, which is going to be picking in the top 3 to 5 next year and picking their quarterback. Of course you do that, right? That is the prevailing dominant expectation in the league. So the pressure on them. Now, does that matter on the field Sunday? I don't know, but the pressure on them is immense, and they have been an absolute bleep show for a long time.
There's no doubt about it. And, you know, the first look with Rodgers last week, I would describe it this way. I thought the arm looked great from Rodgers last week. Like, the arm is what it is. Like, it doesn't look a whole lot different to me than what it's always looked like. He can make every throw, and if you leave guys open, he's going to hit them. Like, you're not going to see Aaron Rodgers miss too many passes. I do wonder, like, how much can you take advantage of what I would agree appeared to be more limited mobility from him last week. That's always been a big part of his game. Now, look, don't get it twisted. He could sit there in the pocket and carve you up if you give him the chance to, but he's always been able to extend the play, keep the eyes downfield, make the throws that way. And if he's less equipped to do that now just because of the Achilles injury and the age that he is, you got to find a way to take advantage of that, move him off his spot if you're the Titans. And that is where, like, you know, TD was talking about sweat and the quick feed and what he put on display in week one. I am really, can you live up to that challenge again? Like, part of being a good player in the NFL is doing it on a consistent basis. Can Simmons and Sweat really impact the game in terms of getting after Aaron Rodgers with interior pressure up the middle?
Well, and I think Simmons is,
for sure,
is there more there from him? Can he have one of those games where you're like, oh, you know, yeah, I think last week you certainly saw him at times. He made a difference, and those two together are just such a problem for an offensive line to figure out how to handle them both. But yeah, I'd like to see Simmons have a loud game here. And not, you know, we've talked all week about Sweat, and is he Meatloaf? Is he Boba Sweat, which is still my choice.
I agree.
But I do like Meatloaf. The food, the nickname, not so much the artist. But we've been talking all week about Sweat and not that much about Simmons, other than Kaharsky saying he was smiley, which I think is a little bit of an overstatement. But I do agree with Kaharsky on let's see the great player in a game like this. Because if you get those two in tandem and at their best, that's just going to be a problem for opponents consistently. And I think with Rodgers is that, you know, again, if he's as – I'm with you, his arm looked great. He didn't, you know, he didn't look nearly as mobile. If he is that, then those two guys pressuring inside is going to be a big problem for him.
Kevin in Nashville says, what about Rodgers being more comfortable coming home to Nashville, sleeping in his own bed? Can't overrate that.
Well, that is very true. Is there a team retreat for the Jets? A Hawaii ayahuasca-fueled retreat.
Guys, come on out.
After the game. Yeah.
Got a nice place for all of you.
So many caves.
Got another texter that says, how would New York react to relax from Aaron Rodgers? Probably not well. If they go to 0-2 and he gives the old relax speech, I don't know if that'll go over well.
Didn't he say, I thought he said something like that, but it was like last year when he was already hurt. I thought he said something like that.
Maybe he did. I don't know.
I don't know. He says a lot of things.
Yes, he does. We'll have the next edition of Pigskin Pick'em coming up next. Take your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Tune in to 93.3 Totally Hits Nashville tomorrow for MTSU football. Blue Raiders taking on Western Kentucky at Floyd Stadium. Pregame at 4:30, kickoff at 6. Coverage also available on the 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 102.5, The Game, and The Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week, time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. A quick standings update in the competition. Joe Rexrode, 4-2 with his lock last week in week two. A strong performance from Rexrode. Same with Nick Kieser, 4-2 with his lock as well. I was terrible. 2-4, no lock for Robbie Stanley last week, which means the overall standings. Joe Rexrode in first place, 7-5, 2-0 in his locks, 9 points. Nick Kieser, 6-6 overall, 2-0 in his locks, 8 points. Robbie Stanley, 5-7, 0-2 on locks, 5 points. Utter garbage from me the first 2 weeks of the competition. We'll see if we can improve as we move forward here. We begin with Vanderbilt going on the road to take on Georgia State. Vanderbilt 2-0, looking for 3-0. Joe, Vanderbilt a 10.5-point favorite in the competition. Your pick between Vanderbilt and Georgia State?
The half, I'm not going to lie. But also, I'm not going to lie and pretend I know a ton about Georgia State. I think the way Vanderbilt runs that offense and runs the football, and then the improvements on defense, I think they're going to thump them. So give me Vanderbilt.
Rex Rowe going with Vandy. Nick Kieser, Vanderbilt, 10.5-point favorites on the road at Georgia State.
They'll be raising some canes down there in Georgia, fellas. You see what I did there? I don't know if anyone gets it.
Time for you to log off.
Yep.
I do.
The bad puns continue. But, yeah, give me the Commodores in this one. A good 3-0 start to their season seems appetizing to me.
Don't speak again. Diego Pavia is a dog until otherwise proven, and they get it done. They win by 20. Give me Vanderbilt minus the 10.5 against Georgia State. We move to Kent State taking on Tennessee in Knoxville, a game in which Nick Kieser will be there and will give us a full report on Monday morning about the horse troughs. Nick Kieser, Tennessee is a 49.5-point favorite in this one against Kent State. Your pick between the Vols and the Golden Flashes.
I think they absolutely roll over them. Yeah, give it to me. I mean, that's a large favorite, but, I mean, I don't think they're going to hold back whatsoever. So, yeah, give me Tennessee this weekend.
I'm going Kent State. I think Tennessee wins by 49, so they don't cover the 49.5. I'll go Kent State plus 49.5. Joe Rexrode, Tennessee, Kent State.
I've thought about it exactly like you have, and that seems – I hate the half there. But at the same time, like, this is the worst team in college football. This is the worst Division I team that exists in the land in Kent State. And so I think this game is going to be like 56-0 at halftime. And then, like, the backups will get another touchdown, and Kent State's backups will get one, and it'll end up 63-7. So give me the Vols.
So going with the Vols in that one. I think this might actually be a game. Heupel doesn't do this a lot, where he pulls guys pretty early. Typically doesn't do that, but Oklahoma's next week, so I think that might happen. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Jets taking on the Titans Sunday at Nissan Stadium, the home opener for the Tennessee Titans. The Jets are favored by 3.5 in this game. Give me the Jets in this one. I think the Jets will win by about a touchdown. I'm just heavily discouraged by what I saw from the Titans offense last week. I think the Jets defense, despite a not very good showing against San Francisco, will respond this week. I'll go with the Jets minus the 3.5. Joe Rextro, Jets and Titans coming up at Nissan Stadium.
It's just another WHMR kind of week for me. Mm. Give me the Titans. I like the half, but you know what? Give me the Titans to win outright. They are going to come out and turn some things around in front of the home fans, and they're going to look like a more functional football team against a team that can easily crumble given their history. So I think the Titans pull the upset altogether.
Guarantee question mark, Joe, for you? No?
No. No guarantee. No, okay. No. I got a lock later.
That's right. Fine. And look, I think the Jets' defense is due to have a better game, so give me the Jets this week. And I think Aaron Rodgers also looks a lot better for the sake of Robbie Stanley's sanity as well, just enjoying a decent quarterback right now.
Well, I don't care if he looks good anymore.
Well, I know you like him, and you definitely don't want to cheer for Malik this weekend, that's for sure.
Robbie will be in his old home.
I guess so.
I will. We move to the individual portion of the program. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
I'll start with my NFL pick for the week. Charges at Panthers. The Panthers are getting 5 points. Now, I don't know that Harbaugh is going to have some amazing debut season, but I already like some of what I'm seeing. He's a very good coach. And the Panthers are cheeks, folks. So, yeah, give me the Chargers, and I'll give those 5 points.
So going with the Chargers, -5 against the Panthers. Nick Kieser, your first individual selection.
One longtime college quarterback is out because of an infection of a cut that he's got. Cam Rising is going to miss quite some time here. So give me Utah State to cover against Utah this weekend.
Well, what's the line?
Give us the line, Nick.
It is +17.5.
Are you sure? Because this got into a bit of an issue last week.
It's +17.5. You can go ahead and check. Go right now and go look on FanDuel.
All right. I'm going to have to start verifying.
Go ahead.
Kieser's lines. My first pick, you know, it would be really kind of a shame of me if I didn't do this. This is my first trip to Lambeau. Give me the Green Bay Packers +3 and to win outright with Malik Willis as a starting quarterback against the Indianapolis Colts. As we all know, Joe,
yeah.
I have long been a big fan and a very staunch supporter of Malik Willis, and I'm very much looking forward to his dominant outburst of offensive production on Sunday. Matt LaFleur, great coach. Looking forward to that coming up as well. Give me the Packers +3 against the Indianapolis Colts.
I just really, really, like, I need, you know, your buddies are going with you. I need the video of you happily, drunkenly screaming from Lambeau on Sunday. Gotta have it.
Nick Kieser, your second individual selection.
I'm just waiting to see that video. But look, I'm going to take the Houston Texans -6.5 over the Chicago Bears this week. I think Caleb Williams gets humbled this weekend for the first time.
So it's -6.5 against the Bears. By the way, did I say that I was locking down Packers? Because I am.
Oh, look at you.
Oh, no, you did not. That's even better.
Wow.
I have to. Got to do it.
Add a couple spotted cows to the total.
That's right. Lock it down on the Packers. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
So Boston College at Missouri.
Yep.
And I don't want to overreact to what's clearly a bad Florida State team getting completely thumped physically by Boston College. But you know what? Bill O'Brien can coach some ball, and he's getting 15.5 at Missouri. And I like Missouri. They got a good football team. They're a playoff contender, but I like that 15.5. Give me Boston College in those points.
So going Boston College +15.5 against Eli Drinkwitz and the Missouri Tigers. My second individual selection, give me the Wisconsin Badgers +16.5 against Alabama. I'll be in attendance for that one, too. I do think Wisconsin's defense is good enough to grind this one out a little bit. Now, their offense is atrocious, so it's going to have to be like, I don't know, 21-7, somewhere in that neighborhood. But I'll go Wisconsin +16.5. Alabama will win, and they will probably win by double digits, but they do not cover the 16.5. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
I love that you're putting your money where your weekend is. That's right. I love it. All right, my last one, Ole Miss going to Wake Forest, and Wake is getting 21.5. And again, that's a half point I don't love, just like with the Vols. But my God, Lane is going to put a number on these guys. He is getting style points all he can. Wake Forest is not good. Give me Ole Miss, minus 21.5, and make it my lock.
Guarantee.
Locking down on Lane. Ole Miss, minus 21.5 against Wake Forest. Nick Kieser, your final individual selection.
Robbie, I hope you did your research on this pick, because I am going Roll Tops over the Blue Raiders. Western Kentucky is a 7.5-point favorite, and I think, not only do I think, I want to believe that this will be a smackdown in Murfreesboro, and I'm going to lock down on this game as well. TJ Finley in the Tops, taking down the Blue Raiders. There you go.
Well, it's kind of an amazing.
I'm glad we got that game in here.
Yeah, it's an amazing rebound for them after they were just apparently, according to you, a pick'em last week against Eastern Kentucky. So I'm glad they've improved so much in a week.
Hey, I already admitted to bad research on that end because I was trying to find something last week, and I apologize. Right. I'll do it again.
By the way, real quick before you do your pick, did we ever get any apology or conversation about the whole uniform thing there?
Did Big Joe
get anything on the
no clarity?
No, I don't think so. No,
I want something. I want a resolution on this.
We need anonymous sources.
Walt Rex Wells, Rose,
go write it. Go write it. The Athletic. Tulane taking on Oklahoma. There's a big game in Norman next week. Did not look very good last week. The Sooners. They're 13.5-point favorites against Tulane. Give me Tulane plus 13.5. Oklahoma's going to win, but I think the combination of the struggles that they have right now on the offensive side of the ball and maybe a little bit looking ahead to next week with Tennessee, I think they get the classic struggle win against Tulane. So give me Tulane plus the 13.5 against Joe, an Oklahoma team that I'm still not quite sure how good or not good they are.
I love that pick. Mensah's a really dynamic quarterback for Tulane, and I'm with you. No, offensively, did they struggle last week. So I like that one a lot.
Those are our picks. We'll take your picks as well for the weekend. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our final thoughts on the Titans and the Jets, the weekend of college football coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Sounds take on Memphis. Pregame at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 949thefan.com. Sounds Baseball presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Got some tickets to give away to Legends of Old School. Those giving away some more of those tickets now. We did that just a few minutes ago. 615-737-1025, caller number 3 is our phone number. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to Legends of Old School coming up at Ascend Amphitheater on Friday, October the 4th. Joe, you got the Titans winning outright on Sunday against the Jets. A bounce-back performance from Will Levis and company. What do you make of this game? What's the key to that coming true and the Titans winning this game?
You know, my reasoning on that is just that, like, it's just amazing in this league every year how we think we know so many things about a team after one game. And so many of these teams are going to defy what they showed in week one. Titans may not. You know, there are serious questions about the Titans, I acknowledge. But I think that this is a huge week for Brian Callahan and his coaching staff in terms of, okay, we've done all this stuff, and now look at the film, and boy, there's a lot of ugly on that film. Why? And how can it be fixed? And how can, as he said, some of these guys who reverted on some things, how can you get them back to playing, you know, with the proper technique? And then can you put together a plan too? Like, Garcia and I argued about the halftime adjustments, and I agree with what Brian Callahan said this week, which is it's constant adjustments. That's my whole thing. Like, you better be adjusting at all times. But the second half thing is crazy, like, that it carried over for one game.
Yep.
So huge week for them, huge week for this offensive line, and obviously Will Levis. How will he respond? He's going to get, I think TD's about right. Like, your guy Jordan Love, Robbie, I mean, basically he had, like, what? Like, a game here or there. But it's about 20 games. It's basically all of last season when you went from, nah, to all of a sudden, oh, my God, pay him, yeah, right? So that's his, you know, that was his, what, third season in the NFL?
That was his fourth.
Fourth season. Yeah, that's right. That was his fourth season in the NFL. So that's a totally different situation. But I agree in general with about the 20-game thing. That seems about right. He's going to get that time. But this game, he so badly needs to reverse some things quickly and restore confidence. I think in his own confidence, his coach's confidence, and his teammates' confidence in him. Like, it's not just us out here screaming about everything and fans and media. I mean, internally, you make plays like that, guys look at each other like, what the hell? You know, like, yeah. There's a lot. This is a huge, huge week for him to get it back to, okay, talented young quarterback who's trying to make his way, as opposed to guy who last week validated a lot of really negative views about him around the league.
Yep, no doubt about it. And I will say, too, when you have guys, there are going to be some guys that get open in this game. I don't care how good the defense is. When you've got Ridley, Hopkins, and Boyd, and an offensive guy like Callahan, there are going to be guys open at some point. Do you hit them? Like, are we talking again on Monday morning about Ridley wide open on the sideline and Levis airmailing one out of bounds? Are we talking about Hopkins cutting across the middle and Levis sailing one high that ends up intercepted? Like, it would be awesome for his confidence, and I think the confidence of the fan base, to go through a game where when the throws are there and when the protection holds up, and we'll see how well that happens, but when it does happen, make the plays that are available to you. I mean, that's the first step of being a good quarterback in this league. Yes, the great ones make exceptional plays, but can you take what the defense gives you? Can you make the plays that are available to you? If you can't do that, then you just have no chance in this league. So I'm interested to see if that looks different from Levis this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of different elements that have to go together, but he's going to have an opportunity to make some throws. He's going to have an opportunity to hit people. Does he hit them? He needs, like, a good throw, a nice little run with a slide early, you know, get that stuff out of the way and kind of move on with his day.
Matthew in Nashville says, surprised none of you picked Memphis to upset Florida State or Boston College to hang around with Missouri. Well, one of us did pick Boston College.
I literally just picked Boston College.
We did not pick Memphis, though. Although, I will say, I think Florida State's like a 6.5-point favorite in that game. Very interested to see the Memphis-Florida State game. One of the more intriguing games of the weekend, I think.
I agree, and that definitely could have been a pick. I'm glad we got to mention it, because that's a very interesting game. Robert says, if Levis struggles, like, I'd be making the same mistake. I believe Brian will bench him and start Mason. No, he will not. At some point, if it's so bad week after week after week and they just can't get a win, okay, fine. But, yeah. We are so far from that. This season – it's not just us saying it. It's internally. Everybody knows. This season is finding out about Will Levis. You don't find out about him by immediately benching him for what you know is a solid backup quarterback in the NFL.
Top three? Top five? Top ten?
Maybe the best. The best backup in the NFL. But still.
Malik Willis with a chance, potentially, to really kind of pole vault himself up those backup quarterback rankings this weekend.
Well, maybe Malik Willis is turning himself into – we don't talk about him as a backup anymore after this weekend.
Maybe so. Maybe so. I'm still holding out hope. Jordan Love's going to walk out there on one leg. We'll see what happens on that front. the Tennessee game, going to be interesting in terms of, like, how long does Nico stay in there? How long is James Pierce in there? Does it look like the Chattanooga game where it's just over from the jump and you get him out of there immediately? But – I think a lot of eyes in Knoxville already on the matchup next weekend against Oklahoma. You would figure Tennessee going to go in tomorrow, handle business against a very bad Kent State team, as you've pointed out. And then you'll be talking about definitely a top 10 Tennessee team, and depending on how things go this weekend, maybe a top 5 Tennessee team going on the road, which, by the way, I looked yesterday, Joe, they're a 3.5-point favorite in Norman next weekend taking on Oklahoma.
Okay.
At the moment.
That's interesting. Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, this is just a week of don't get anybody hurt and, maybe get some good feel back in the passing game a little bit, maybe get some other guys involved, like a Thornton, but it's very much name your score, get no one hurt and gear up for Oklahoma. And like you said, that Oklahoma Tulane game is one of the ones definitely to watch tomorrow. Certainly, if you're a Vols fan, that'll be a lot more interesting than the, than your team's game. I promise you.
I would say that's probably the case. And I'll tell you, NFL game, I'm really excited to see this weekend. Bengals and Chiefs. That's a pretty good week two matchup. The 3:25 game on CBS coming up on Sunday. Bengals, I mean, you would think it's going to be really difficult for them to go on the road and win in Arrowhead. And if you do that and you lose, you're falling into an 0-2 hole after crapping the bed against the Patriots last week.
The thing is, like, when that, you know, you look at that before the season and it's like, ooh, juicy matchup. I'm like, are we sure they aren't just going to get their doors blown off in this game?
I don't know.
I hope I'm wrong, because I hope Burrow gets back to Burrow and they're good. You know, I think it's better for the NFL, but they're one of those teams that, like, did what we did the first look at them, did that lie or not? Remember last year they were awful, too, in the opener against Pittsburgh. The problem is last year got wiped away with the injury. But I'm a little worried about Joe Burrow and whether he's gotten so banged up now that he's a diminished player.
Well, and they, you know, Chase basically didn't practice all the training camp, got back out there like the last week. And he did play last week, and then he had 6 catches for 62 yards. But T. Higgins didn't play. And by the way, T. Higgins, to this point, has not practiced this week either, dealing with a hamstring injury. So this is the game where you would really need both Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins if you're Cincinnati.
Yes, big time. But hopefully that's the game that we think it could be. I think actually Bears-Texans, I mean, that game interests me a lot.
Could be a lot of fun. Joe, you're going to have Kuharski in with you on Monday as I am traversing through Wisconsin. Hope everybody has a wonderful weekend.
Yes, and I will pay a premium if you bring back some spotted cows.
Okay.
Don't tell the authorities.
We'll see what happens. Everybody have a great weekend. Lots of football to get to. Hope you enjoy it. Chasing Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.